to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Puck Guys Podcast, doing our 31 in 30. Today we're talking about the St. Louis Blues. What's going on, Jason and Eddie?
Just living the dream, man. How about you, Ed?
Living the dream, doing more podcasts at 2 in the morning.
Oh, man, you're totally spoiler alert. I mean, people think we do this every night for 31 straight days.
Way to ruin the illusion.
I know. It's not like we've given it away on other shows already.
Oh, no one listens to those ones. Yeah. So, cat's out of the bag. It's super late. We got the Blues to talk about tonight, though. This is actually a team we're kind of pumped to watch this season. I mean, they missed the playoffs by a freaking point. Came down to the wire for them. Big expectations this year. They went out and made all kinds of moves and brought in some heavy hitters, I feel like, to this team. They finished last season 44-32-6. And like I said, missed the playoffs. Eddie, how do you feel that this team is coming around? I mean, do you want to talk about some of the new faces? There was a lot of roster turnover.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously were bitter and for a good reason in how they missed out in the playoffs last year, losing in the final game of the season to the Colorado Avalanche. I always think it's crazy how the schedule winds up working like that, where two teams fighting for a playoff spot end up facing each other on the last day to get in. It was crazy. It was an exciting game, obviously disappointing for St. Louis. And look what they do. They turn around, they make a trade to bring in Ryan O'Reilly, and they sign Tyler Bozak in free agency to address any center depth issues they had previously going into this. Now they've got Shen, O'Reilly, and Bozak up the middle. I don't think you would say they're weak at that position now. And not only do they go out and get those two guys, they bring in David Perron for cheap because he wants to go back to St. Louis, and then they get hometown boy Pat Maroon as well for cheap to bring in, and now they've just got one of the better top nine, if not an entire forward group, in the Western Conference. I mean, you look at their top line, which should be Schwartz, Shen, and Tarasenko, again, one of the best lines in hockey. They'll be good this year. Tarasenko should push for 40 goals. And then they've got a second line now centered by Ryan O'Reilly, who's a 60-point guy in his own right, but one of the best defensive centers in the league. And you pair him with whoever you want, maybe with Maroon, Perron, Alexander Steen, Robbie Fabry. I mean, those are all top six guys right there. So you pair that, and then you've got Bozak with the leftovers from that. Let's just say Fabry and Steen. And then it looks like their fourth line could be one of anything. I mean, they've got a lot of young guys who are pushing to make roster spots this year. Robert Thomas has been good in preseason, so has Jordan Kyrou and Sammy Blaze. And then you've got, there's a lot of roster players that they still have in Dmitry Yaskin, Ivan Barbashev, Nikita Soshnikov, Klim Kostin. I mean, the list goes on. This team is so deep at forward that not only can they afford to maybe give some guys some nine-game trials, but they have a ton of guys who could come up in the lineup that are going to be playing in the AHL this season. So the forward depth alone makes them scary. And then you look at their blue line, and it's pretty good as well. You've got a bona fide top two defenseman in Alex Pietrangelo. You've got good top four guys in Parayko, Bouwmeester, and Edmondson. And then a bottom pairing with Dunn and Bortuzzo that could be supplemented by Gunnarsson and Smoltz. So they've got some very good depth at all positions, which is going to help them a lot this year, especially if some guys go down to injury. I think the only question for them comes with Jake Allen, if he can really carry this team and get them far enough, not even just into the playoffs, but far enough into like the Stanley Cup final as well.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that it was a very big turnover, and I kind of have to feel that the management needed to do that, because once they traded out Stastny at the trade deadline, it was kind of a punch to the gut to the players that were still around, kind of like, you're trading that guy, and we're in the middle of a playoff push to try and get in there. It really kind of didn't sit well with a lot of the players, and that might have had something to do with kind of their dismal performance towards the end of the season that basically took them out of the playoffs. So management went around, dumped a lot of their centers. To get O'Reilly, they traded off three of their centers. And then you also say Stastny out as another center. Bringing in Bozak and having O'Reilly in there really kind of helps out. And then it definitely gives some more depth when you add in Perron and Maroon to that lineup. So I'm not too worried about their offense. That was probably their biggest problem. They were 24th on offense last year. So that and their power play was ranked 30th, only one team worse than that, the Islanders. And pretty much, or I think it was the Islanders, I'm not quite sure. But they kind of addressed that offensive side of things, and their defensive side of things really wasn't that bad. As far as shots against, they gave up the third fewest shots against, and their defense was sixth best. Same thing as far as the defense. I feel they're very deep, you know, as far as those top four for the most part. They're not, you know, Nashville deep or anything like that, but they can do the job. And this is kind of the same setup they had last year that had the sixth best defense. The question just comes down to Jake Allen, because last year he had dismal, horrible numbers, 906 save percentage, good for 42nd best in the NHL. And a 2.75 goals against average, 26th best in the NHL. So that kind of begs the question, well, how were they so good defensively if Allen was so bad? And the answer was in their backup, Carter Hutton, who played 33 games. And over those 33 games, any goalie that's played 25 games, he was the best in save percentage, best in the goals against average. It tops all over. But he's gone now. And that backup that they brought in is now Chad Johnson. And I just don't think Chad Johnson is really going to be there to bail Jake Allen out if he kind of falters. And once again, it's just hit or miss, a lot like Varlamov. You're not quite sure which Jake Allen you're going to get. We've seen moments where he's been really good. Other times he's injured. You know, he's wearing a suit and watching from the rafters. And then other times he's just not very good or very average, and that was pretty much last season, and he was bailed out by his backup.
This team is just it's just such a question mark all over the place, because even if you point to their good forward group, right, and they do have a really, really strong forward group, and they improved upon that, how do you have a second to last power play with that setup? And look at that the defensemen too, they're able to put up numbers, and they're able to you know, be power play quarterbacks on that team. Don't understand how this power play was so bad. But there's no bigger question mark than what you guys just said, is that what's in net. Jake Allen has always been, oh, is he going to be a starter? No, I don't know. He's had one 920 save percentage season, and that was 4 years ago. He's a career 913 goalie. And I agree with you, Jay. I'm not really confident in anything that Chad Johnson's going to bring to the table here. I feel like letting go of Carter Hutton, they should have just let go of Jake Allen and made Carter Hutton a starter in St. Louis. They would have been better off, I feel like. I don't know what they're doing keeping Jake Allen on this team. I feel like he's the anchor that's going to sink the ship.
How do they keep going back to this guy? How have they, I think Brian Elliott had a couple seasons there where he was really good, and they let him go to pursue Jake Allen again. I mean, how many times are they going to let good goalies go? I'm not saying Brian Elliott is good, but before they realize that Jake Allen just isn't going to be the guy.
Is the best goalie in St. Louis history Ryan Miller?
Grant Fuhr. No, who was the other one? Curtis Joseph.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or was it Marty Brodeur? Did he wear a Blues jersey?
He did. A little bit.
Maybe. I think he is the greatest Blues goalie of all time.
Technically,
he is.
I guess.
But yeah, they just haven't fixed that problem in net. I mean, it's okay not to be an NHL starter. You're just a career backup. They still somehow, someone thinks that he is going to be an NHL starter. And until he does it, I guess he's not, because his numbers, I don't know how you could look at this team and put everyone in front of you and be like, now we're going to be really good. We didn't fix that problem that sunk your team last year. Well, we'll get Ryan O'Reilly in. He'll stop pucks. I just don't understand what they're doing in net. I don't get it.
Yeah, it makes no sense, really, because like you said, I mean, the power play and the goal scoring last year was a problem, but they addressed that, because now they've brought in four guys you could argue are at least top nine, if not top six players. But yeah, the goaltending again. I mean, you let a guy like Carter Hutton, who was nothing but great for you last year and played more games than a backup really should, and then you let him go and say, oh, we're going to go with Jake Allen again after disappointing season, after disappointing season. I don't get it.
Yeah, and they're also, my only thing, or at least what I'm thinking they're hoping, is that it's kind of, for them, that team, it's kind of win now. I mean, they had a lot of turnover to try and make this a thing this year, because they're sitting with 0.2 million in cap space, no first round pick next year, no fourth round pick next year, and quite a few guys that they're going to have to look to resign. Fabry is going to be a restricted free agent after this. He should definitely get a upkick from his under $1 million contract. They have some guys coming off the books, but I mean, Jake Allen's there for another 3 years under contract. Perienko and Pietrangelo, I mean, guys you want to keep. But Tarasenko, O'Reilly, those guys are for another 5 years at 7.5 each. Steen, unless he retires, he's got a no-trade clause at 5.75. And then you got Schwarzer you'd want to keep at 5.3 and Shen at 5.1. So, I mean, they've got a lot of guys with big contracts and not a lot of wiggle room. So they're going to have to try and make something happen this year, I feel, to at least get into the playoffs. Otherwise, it's a complete bust at that point.
Oh, they're in. They're definitely making the playoffs. Yeah. The question is just how far can their goaltending take them? I mean, they have probably the top, I don't know, top three lines in hockey if you put them all together. I mean, they don't have like maybe not the best top line, but you, I mean, it's hard to throw over nine better forwards than what the Blues are going to throw over every single night. It just, it all comes back to the crease.
Yeah, you know, this team for me seems like they're primed. If Columbus is a team that is going to be moving Sergei Bobrovsky and isn't signing him, this team seems primed to go out and make that type of trade. Not only do they have the assets and young players, they can send a guy like Jake Allen back to kind of offset some of that cap. And I'm sure Columbus would take, you know, that, not that Jake Allen's proven anything, but he's a little bit younger, and at least they can try things out and see if he can help out. And they have Korpisalo there as well. But this team is primed to go out and make that type of acquisition. They've got Robert Thomas, they've got Jordan Kyrou, they've got Klim Kostin, they've got all these young guys. They drafted really well this draft as well. They've got these young prospects, including draft picks, to go out and make that type of acquisition. I think that's what they need to push them over the top. Honestly, if they had that elite goaltender, I would probably put them in front of Winnipeg and Nashville. But when you've got inconsistency in net, you know, you're comparing this team at forward depth, I think they're better than both Winnipeg and Nashville when you look at the entire 12 group of four that they have. On defense, I think obviously Nashville is better than the two, but they're not far off. I think they're, you know, they were the sixth best defense last year with a horrible goaltender in Jake Allen. If they had a Sergei Bobrovsky, a Pekka Rinne, a Hellebuck type guy in net, I think they would easily run away with this division, but they don't have that.
Yeah, and the only other thing that I'd kind of be at least a little concerned, if you can nitpick on exactly what's going on in St. Louis, is kind of just so much of that turnover in the top nine to add Maroon, Perry, O'Reilly, Bozak. I mean, it's always the, you know, usually what you get with them and what they've been doing, but then put them on a new team just to see how everything meshes. It's always a question mark for me until I start seeing it. On paper, they look good, but that's just maybe one concern if I'm nitpicking on exactly how they're going to, I think they're going to definitely improve on 24th offense. But I really don't feel their defense was much of the problem as much as maybe their starting goalie. And the offense just wasn't clicking that power play. But O'Reilly is going to help that power play for sure.
So now we got the three questions hovering over the St. Louis Blues, guys. How do you think David Perron is going to perform this year? He had one hell of a year last year with the Vegas Golden Knights. He put up monster numbers. Is he primed and ready to bring that to St. Louis?
I don't think so. I really don't think he's going to have that type of season, because I don't think he's going to be given that type of opportunity in St. Louis like he was given in Vegas. I don't think for sure he's even a second line player. You know, we know what that top line is going to be. We know it's Tarasenko, Shannon, Schwartz. Last year he was one of the primary setup men on that second unit and on the power play for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think, you know, maybe even if he's playing with Ryan O'Reilly and he's got Alexander Steen there, I just think the opportunities aren't going to be as big for him as they were last year. I don't think he's going to have a bad season. You look at the season he had when he played 82 games in St. Louis the season before that, he had 46 points in 82 games. I could see him maybe hitting around 50, 55 and on a good year for him. But, you know, he was almost a point per game last year. I can't see him doing that. There's no history of him really being that type of playmaker either. I mean, his career high in assists before last year was 35 back in his second season in the NHL. So him saying he's going to hit around 50 assists again, I think, is a tall order. Especially, you know, this guy is now 30 years old. You know, I rarely does a guy just come out and have his best season at 30 and then continues to produce that consistently after. But I think he'll still be a valuable player for this team.
For sure. He'll slot in very well, whether he's doing a second or third line. I can't really see him dipping all the way to the third unless he really kind of struggles out of the gate, or for at least a little part, for first part of the season. But yeah, I can't expect him put up the same thing he did in Vegas, considering prior years, the closest he ever came to it was back when he was playing on Edmonton at 57 points versus 66 last year. So yeah, I think he'll probably hover around the 40, maybe even 45, what he did in St. Louis the year prior. So it's going to be good. It's going to be that depth scoring that St. Louis is going to need and pretty much should have through those top nine forwards.
Eddie, I know that you kind of, I always look to you as kind of like the prospect guy. What can we make of Robert Thomas from the Bulldogs? Is that somebody that you can see making an impact on this Blues team?
Yeah, I think so. It's not just him. I mean, I will talk about him, but it's not just him as well. They have a lot of guys, especially you look at how they've been doing in preseason so far. They've got a lot of guys who could really push to make this team, and there's not a lot of room. I mean, Robert Thomas, I think their last preseason game had 3 assists. Sammy Blaze has been scoring goals like crazy for them. Jordan Kyrou's been good. Klim Kostin was their first-round pick last year, who spent the season in the AHL. They've got all these young guys that could make the team. And really, there seems like there's only one spot. I mean, when you look at the top nine, that's pretty much solidified. Then you would assume Yaskin and Barbashev, because they played last year with the Blues, would get a spot. So there's really only one spot. And I think if anybody has the fast track to getting that, it's probably Robert Thomas, because he's the out-and-out center of the bunch. Kyrou and Blaze and Kostin I see more as wingers, even though Kyrou and Kostin have played center. But, you know, if they want to give somebody a shot, I think giving Thomas a shot as a fourth-line center, playing maybe with Barbashev and Yaskin, that's a great fourth line to have. I mean, that's the prototypical fourth line of modern-day hockey, where you've got a lot of young, fast guys, and I think he could make a difference on that line. I'm sure Hamilton would want him back in the OHL, but I think he's in that spot now where he's probably too good for the OHL, but he can't go to the AHL, so St. Louis has a tough decision, because if they send him down, they can't bring him back up. So I think he'll get a shot. I think he'll get his 9-game trial, and if he impresses, they're going to be forced to just keep him on the team, which isn't a bad thing.
Well, yeah, he's their elite prospect, and I mean, I think he's expected to make the team, I feel like. I mean, Corey Pramman had the St. Louis Blues ranked third overall in farm system, so they got a lot of valuables in the farm that they can move around. Like you were saying, maybe grab a goaltender like Bobrovsky or bring another player to help them out, but they got a lot to look forward to. And we'll wrap up the questions with you, Jay. How do you feel about, I know we talked about him quite a bit already, but you got to give your take on Jake Gallen. Is this his year? He has the best team that he probably has ever had in front of him this season coming up, with guys poised to make that step in the playoffs. Is Jake Gallen going to perform?
Once again, I mean, it's kind of the same thing we talked about with Varlamov. It's you're just not quite sure year in and year out which Jake Allen's going to show up. He's battled so long with Brian Elliott, 1A, 1B, and they seem to be pretty much on par for a little bit. Jake Allen started to suffer through more injuries to Brian Elliott, and then Brian Elliott kind of had a breakout season, so much so that services were demanded elsewhere. And they kind of parted ways with him and, said, Allen's our guy. And then they get another great backup at Carter Hutton from Nashville, who should have been challenging far longer there. Because I think he's a better goalie than Jake Allen, just because of the lack of consistency and the fact that Carter Hutton had been a backup for a long time to Rene, and they outperformed everyone in the NHL. I mean, 33 games. Yeah, it's not the upper echelon of what other players were playing, where they're most of them are playing, upper 50s, but to go 33 games and post the best goals against average and save percentage, that's got to raise your eyebrow. I mean, I think St. Louis maybe let that one slip away a little bit and has just really put all their faith and energy into Jake Allen. I can't really see him as that elite goalie, not with the numbers he put up last year or really over his career. They just have not been there. He's never been under, his career year was a few years back, 4 years back, where he had a 2.28 goals against average. But, other than that, he only played 37 games in that one. The following season was 47. His high point was 61 the other year. And then last year was 59. So, I mean, I'm not sold on him. I don't think he's going to have a stellar season. I think he's going to benefit greatly from the defense and the fact that I think that offense should start to carry the play to the other end a little bit better. But even then, that team
only gave up the third, least amount of shots against. So, I mean, he was pretty protected in the first place.
Well, there you guys have it. So now we got to give our final predictions. As bad as we talked about the Blues in some aspects, I have them sitting in the division spot, guys. I have them sitting third.
Yeah, I think they're third. I think they have a better roster up front and even maybe on the blue line. If you look at the roster as a whole, just the forwards and defensemen, I think they have a better roster than Winnipeg and Nashville. But it's the goaltending that I think for me takes them down to third. They just don't have that guy they can rely on.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit different than you, you St. Louis homers, and actually put them at fourth. I think it's so close between, them, Colorado, and, other teams that we'll mention later. So I think that they just – it's a coin flip for me, but I think they're still a playoff team. They're just going to be ahead of Colorado for sure, and I think also ahead of Minnesota, and they get the fourth spot.
Well, there you guys have it. That's our prediction and the insight from us for the St. Louis Blues heading into the season. Thanks for tuning in to another 31 and 30. We'll be back again at this tomorrow. You'll be hearing about the Dallas Stars. You know where to find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast. Also, if you haven't already checked us out on Patreon, go and check us out. We got tons of bonus content on there. We asked for a little bit of money, but that's just because it's basically making the show better. We want to improve upon what we've already done over the past couple of seasons, and most importantly, get back to you guys and everyone who supported us. So go check us out on patreon.com/puckguysforevermighty, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye, guys.